You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Welcome to ACT Dental's Best Practices Show podcast. My name is Kirk Barron, and I'm your host. Today, you are in for a big treat because our goal is always to bring you the best practices from the best practices. We're going to be talking about something that's near and dear to all of our hearts, which is education. And how can you possibly get the most out of it? And I've got a great friend who's brilliant on this, and you will love this. Now, a couple things. As we continue to bring the best practices from all the best practices that we're going to learn, you're going to see I'm not so smart. And that's why I bring on great friends and just ask them really good questions. And we've had a lot of dental students and young dentists show up throughout this conference and after the conference. And I still get questions every single day. So if you're listening on any type of podcast service like Spotify, Stitchers, iTunes, do me a favor, go down and hit the subscribe button right below you, so that you can keep showing up every single week. You're going to see every week we will bring you a brand new expert in dentistry and just some great concepts to help you think better about your practice, the profession of dentistry, and create a better practice and a better life. And I don't want you to miss out on that. Also, if you haven't joined our private Facebook group, which we started during the COVID conference, I still don't even really know how it works, but it's fun to watch everybody help each other. It's called the Best Practices Powered by ACT Dental. You can see there's a lot of people back there that are just willing to help. Over 13,000 of you showed up, and it's just fun to watch that community continue to grow. So keep showing up over there. And then lastly, we're a practice coaching company. And so people always say, what do you do? And our job is just to help you create a better practice. So if you're ever thinking, gosh, I need some resources, I need some tools, join us over at actdental.com. We've got ACT Dental U. We had Dr. Josh Austin do a masterclass this morning on the importance of understanding the mental dental health connection. It was amazing. Amazing. So, and you'll see every single week, we'll bring you another masterclass that's 90 minutes and then a 30-minute Q&A. So join us over there. And then if you're just looking for resources or somebody to talk about practice, I love talking to anybody about, hey, think better about your practice. And, you've always got somebody to help you over there. Now, I want to introduce my guest because, you know, Nadir, you and I have known each other for a while, and you were one of our heroes that showed up last year. Now, before we went live, I was talking, you know, this whole thing last year, we're almost 1 year of the pandemic. And during that time, actually, it was March 17th that was I hit the bottom. I actually had not a small panic attack, a big one. And I was like, my kids were like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, you don't understand. Like, I've never been through this and you haven't either. And like, we're going to be fine. I'm like, easy for you to say. And I started calling just my friends like Bill Robbins and Bob Margis. And you know, Bill's like, don't worry, like, let's do something. And then he called you and you're like, I'll jump on. I'm like, oh my gosh. And before you know it, we all started to calm down collectively together. And you've always been a hero in the dental education community. But today we're going to be talking about something that's near and dear to both of our hearts, And we're going to open this up. And I think it's really important how you set this up prior to going live, but we'll get into that in a second. But I want people to know, if they don't know who you are, you know, who's Dr. Nader Sharifi? Where do you practice? What do you do? I want to know who you are.
Well, thank you so much, Kirk. It's, I'm a dentist. I'm a dentist. I'm a prosthodontist in Chicago. My office is downtown. I was asked to make a unique statement about myself recently, and I thought about it, and I said, I lived in two different countries and two different states by the time I was 1 year old, and I've been in Chicago ever since. So, you know, I'm a Chicagoan, I'm a dentist, I'm a prosthodontist, I'm a teacher, I'm an educator, I'm a dad, and I have a love of photography and books and wine. Dentistry is a huge part of my life, though, and I think for all of us, it's just automatic. Whatever your career is, it's a huge part of your life. So, you know, I'm all in. I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm all
set. This is awesome. And before we, you know, again, before we went live, you know, you do a lot of education. You're a part of some incredible organizations. You speak to a lot of study clubs. And I asked you, what's like near and dear to your heart? And you said, there's a couple types of education. And so, you know, I think it's important to talk about both and which one makes an impact and which one you want to be on either side of the fence. And together, you and I came up with the title, you know, show and tell or show and teach. Can you explain that? Like, tell me what that means and then why that's such an important topic in dentistry right now.
Yeah. So, Kirk, by the time we get to this point in our careers where we're dentists, we have seen every conceivable flavor of educator in front of us. We have to have embraced education in some way, because to leave high school and go to college, you need to be willing to learn. And then to even leave college and go to dental school, you're committed about learning and you're not shy of it. And to take that step is a significant challenge for some of us, partly because of who's taught us. So we need good teachers to help us continue on our processes. And to learn what's a good teacher, we also have to sort of learn and understand what's a bad teacher. And in dentistry, it seems to me that our bad teachers can also benefit us just a little bit in some regards. And that's really the show and tell part of it. And sometimes I'll go to a conference and there'll be a presenter who will be full of glitz and glamour and a beautiful patient from out of town who travels to see them and has this humongous multidisciplinary treatment plan that took 3 years to complete and all of this. And it's just spectacular dentistry. And at the end of the presentation, I realized I haven't learned how to do that. I saw that it was possible, but I didn't learn how to do it. And I think that that's a show and tell. And the benefit is I see the potential for dentistry. I see the potential for myself. I see the opportunity, but I'm not able to do it. And that's okay. I just chose in my path, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that type of speaker. I don't want to be that type of teacher. I don't want to be that type of person. I want to be able to teach and show a protocol and show a process that's available to the participant in the audience. And so that's not the show and tell, that's the show and teach.
Right. I love this. And this came up this morning during ACT Dental U, is there are some educational programs that you feel worse after you go to them. You're like, oh, it's just depressing in some respects. And there are ones that make you inspired. They inspire you. And so when you look at high quality, like education, it's tell me if it's true for you. When you sit in a lecture, you're like, wow, this person's talking to me. Like I could probably do a lot of like, oh my gosh, that's why I just screwed that up, you know? And some of it we can put into play right away. And I felt this, but I think it was Bob Margers or somebody said this a while back. If you look at the trends that have happened in CE, there was a big trend where there was a lot of full mouth, beautiful stuff, and people would just leave you there and go, thank you for having me. Have a great weekend. And then you saw this trend, a strong one, come back, which it was high quality, simple stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like simple things that just little things that made you better. And you could see the heart of the instructors like, no, I want you to do this because I've screwed this up so many times. Please do not screw this up like I have. Have you seen that trend also?
Yeah, I have seen the trend. I've definitely seen that. And I think that not only in that trend are we, you know, improving in that regard, but dentists are thinkers. And so sometimes as we see this trend towards giving these strong nuggets, this information that's applicable on Monday morning, I'd like to share a little bit of the history of how we got to this nugget. It's important to know that this is actually version three. And version one was this, and you know, that's what happened with it. And then we improved to version two, and now we're on version three. And I find that's important to share in this type of teaching, because we'll sit in the audience and I'll see somebody doing something and I wonder if I could do it like this. And if that presenter would say to me, now I used to do it like this and here's how that didn't work, and so now I'm doing it this way, that would save me from my modification of what they're presenting, because we're tinkerers in dentistry. We change what we hear. And there's times that can benefit us and times it can hurt us. So I do hope that this trend continues.
Yeah. So go back to the three, because go a little bit deeper on those, because I love that, the three different versions. How did you see that? And where do you see that? And give me an example, because I love that.
Right. So, you know, when I teach a course on picking up attachments for overdentures, I would do it as a hands-on course. And in the hands-on course, we get a lot of one-on-one interaction and a lot of opportunity of people to sort of go their own way. And somebody would do something or ask a question about something that would tell me they're taking what I'm teaching as today's concept and they're tweaking it and they're changing it. But unfortunately, they're doing something that they think might be a little bit better, but it's actually from what I used to do in a previous technique. So after answering those individually for people who were participating in a hands-on workshop, I came to realize that truthfully, we needed this collectively. We all needed to hear. Step one was just fill the inside of the denture and seat the darn thing and hope that you pick up the attachment. But then I realized that sometimes I had too much material and it changed the vertical and it tilted the occlusal plane, and that just ruined everything for us. So I tried another version and it got a little bit better, but then I really in the end had many of the exact same issues that came up. Some of those exact same mistakes occurred with the second technique. And it took a while before I finally found a development of this third technique, which is something that I've now stuck with for a great number of years. You know, to be able to have that third technique and teach it and show it, I'm certain it's on the ACT Dental U, what do you call your all of our programs? I'm sorry?
Master classes.
It's a master class in the ACT Dental U library so that it can be accessed and see. And I'm certain I showed all three versions in that, because that's what participants in the course taught me that I needed to do to teach them. They taught me what I needed to do. They taught me how to be a teacher.
Yeah, you're bringing back visceral memories of my path in dentistry. You could appreciate this. When I met Pete Dawson at the age of 24, I went up to him because I didn't want to hear a 64-year-old dentist talk, you know, when I was 24, because I had it all figured out. And I enjoyed it so much. I said to Pete at the end, I go, Pete, I have really enjoyed like this whole thing. And he's like, where did you come from? I said, if there's any one piece of advice, what would you give me? He goes, that's a good question. I would give you this one piece of advice. Don't ever tell yourself you have it all figured out. Stay curious. You're going to find dentists that have it all figured out. He goes, Kirk, I teach dentists at the age of 64. I'm learning from them all the time. Like, I learn. He goes, and then the other thing you're going to learn, people that have it all figured out, they're not that much fun anyway. And so I hear his words all the time in that respect. And I'll say one more thing about you that I love the way you teach is we can appreciate the vulnerability of a teacher. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like an authentic vulnerability of the teacher, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if we only show success and we don't acknowledge the mistakes we made to get there, if we only show success and we don't show the trouble that occurs in achieving that, it's really a false reality. And that's again a way of walking out of a room feeling disappointed, as you mentioned from this morning's program, we have come through. This isn't what we want. Inspiring, some people inspire better than others. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that the most inspiring presenter I've seen in the past two decades is you, Kirk. I mean, I remember the first time I saw you present, my staff showed up early and got very good seats.
Gosh.
Did not save one for me. That was an issue. I ended up sitting in the front row. And in the front row, at the end of the program, Kirk has to pick somebody to do a little spiel about flossing, to do a little bit of you can't handle the truth. And that was me. We met nose to nose, face to face that way that day.
I don't remember that. Did I spit all over you during that whole time?
All over me, everywhere.
I don't know. Wait, go back to this. Your team did not save you a seat?
My team claimed they saved me a seat and didn't pay attention when another team came in and needed every other seat in the row and mine was lost. And so I was told, you got to find a seat somewhere else. And that room was 350 seats and everyone taken but one in the front row where I got to be totally turned on and inspired and enlightened and then washed down at the very end. So baptism, I was baptized right there in the moment.
Gosh, your words are very kind, but here's the truth. There's a lot of great inspirers in dentistry. And, you know, I want to, when we're talking about the future of education, I have so many questions for you on this whole thing. And gosh, if you're bringing back memories, and I'll tell you one piece of my journey that was transformational. It was this one, is that I did a lecture and it was here in Milwaukee for a study club and it was horrible. I actually have the tape, but I don't think I've ever looked at it. It was the worst lecture you'd ever been to in your life. I actually thought about leaving at the break and I don't think anyone would have noticed it was that bad. And then I showed it to a teacher, somebody who taught, you know, speakers how to be better. And this is what she said, Nadir. She's like, this is terrible. I'm like, well, thank you for making me feel worse. She's like, no, it's horrible. And I'm like, you're supposed to help me. And she's like, I am, but this is really bad. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I just paid you. And she said, okay, you need to understand one thing. The when you're teaching, it's never about you. It's not on this, it's not on your computer. It's not on the screen. It's out there in the hearts of those people. And she goes, this is what she said to me. She goes, you ever been to a sermon that just moved you? I said, yes. What did you say to yourself? I said, this person is talking to me. Like that's what happened to me yesterday. And she said, good. I'm glad you understand that because you're going to have to motivate, inspire, challenge, whatever. And it's never about you. It's got to be about them. And you're hitting a chord that's very important to me, but I think we have an incredible industry and it's awesome when you come across the teacher like that with you. Like Bill Robbins is one of my favorite of all time. Bill is so committed to you. I was a bald kid who had no money, no nothing. And he put me in a headlock and took me under his wing. And that's what's so cool about this industry, right?
Right, it is. And that is the amazing part. We do. We learn so much from each other. So you had this woman helping you and creating a better education of you that I then benefited from. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, I look at my past and I was in a similar environment where I had some educator training. And it actually came from a young man who had been on Broadway, been a performer, and then created a career for himself in teaching people how to make presentations. And He ended up working with NYU. And at NYU, one of the prosthodontists there approached him and said, do you have any, you know, actual objective data to back up what you're teaching here? And he said, no. And she said, we should generate some. And so he actually has joined the staff at NYU Dental School and created that objective data. And he tests us as teachers. And I was shocked when he tested me. I wasn't shocked by the outcome. I was shocked how I felt he was so correct, because he found that I was as far to one end of the scale as possible as being a presenter who would connect well with dentists, much more so than I would connect with dental students, which was at the other end of the scale. Because my first foray in teaching, which was inspired by some of my teachers, was in dental school. And it failed horribly. It didn't work well for me. I wasn't good at it. I didn't get positive results from the students. It wasn't working well, but I had a desire to do it. And I ended up evolving into having the opportunity to do it at the podium rather than in the classroom, and something resonated. And so when the NYU evaluation was made of me to identify that that's actually how I am set up, I'm at that extreme to be on the podium with dentists rather than in the classroom with the dental students, that blew my mind. And it's like, you know, Tom to me was Bill to you. And, you know, I expect at some point one day that, you know, there'll be somebody else who will influence me like that, and someone else who influences you like that, and the rest of us. And this is just the trickle down effect.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. And I want to go a layer deeper, because again, at the time of us recording this, it is March 2021. We're 1 year into, I mean, I'm 50. This has been a hard year. I mean, it just has. I like to be with people. We've done the best we could with the education. Nadir, where do you give us, it's anyone's guess, but give us a state of the union on dental education right now. Are we able to show and teach in this format? And then where do you think it's going to go in the next couple? I can see elements of it. We're all struggling to get back to it, but where are we at now? And where do you think dental education is going to go?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I have thoroughly enjoyed being in front of a live audience and being able to feel that audience coming back to me. So, you know, if our responsibility is to reach the individual person and to make this about them and to be able to understand what they need and what they want, and the speaker, the presenter provides that, we need to see them. Right. We need to be able to interact with them. And so Zoom doesn't give us that opportunity the way that the live meeting will. However, for the first time in my life, I sat down with my laptop in my favorite reading chair in my bedroom and attended a symposium. Right. And when the speaker said something that just astounded me, I could pause it, reverse it 15 seconds, write it down, and listen to it again and say, okay, and then pause it again, make a couple of notes to myself, and then press play and never miss a beat. And so I realized that there is going to be benefits from having something available to me on my computer rather than solely live. So I suppose that the way that my kids are learning, I have a daughter in college and two in high school, the one in college is 100% remote and not loving it. It is not a great experience. So we're squeezing as much of that lemon as possible to get some positive lemonade of her college experience. Yeah. But the two in high school are hybrid. Half the time they're in the classroom with a teacher, and half the time they remote into that same classroom so that there's not too many people in the room at a time. And So to me, if I'm looking at what's our future is going to be some hybrid model that we're going to have a little bit of everything. And, you know, in the beginning, it might be too much of everything and we'll have to refine that out. But I really believe that the live course will remain our core element. That will be the base of our mountain. And then as we go up that mountain, we will have webinars and we will have Zooms and we will have podcasts and other ways of receiving information. And some of them will stick better than others, and different age groups will do more in one than another. I believe that's a reality of our technology. But I think the core of this mountain will remain the live meeting.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And I was talking to YL Green about this. He said, you know, this disruption has forced us into, there will always be a balance of the two, and it's anyone's guess. And it's so funny you said that about the school thing, because I just had a conversation with, I have a daughter in college also, same thing, University of Wisconsin. So okay. She's a sophomore. It's like the greatest place ever, and she's not getting the full benefit. And she said to me, she said, Dad, the big lectures, you don't learn a lot. And so what the University of Wisconsin has done is broken these kids out into small groups. So, because they know they still need the human element, which is the teaching part. She said to me, Dad, I learned so much more from the students in my small group. And it's, if that's all I can do, that's where I'm getting my learning from. So I don't know. It's one of those things where we're still going to need the people part. And I agree with you. It's going to be, I think digital is here to stay in some respects.
I hope it is. I hope it stays. Like I said, there's some benefits to it. Right. We need it. But you know what your daughter said about learning from her classmates is critically important, especially as we refine our education. There's no doubt that the classmates around us push us to be better students and teach us what they are learning at the same time. So she nailed it. And it's 100% true for dental school, 1,000% true for residency, if that terminology would be in existence. Because in the residency, there was four of us. And we absolutely pushed each other and learned from each other off of that. And then those four PROS residents, we interacted with the oral surgery and the orthodontics and the periodontics. And we were able to interact and learn from them as well. And that's why these study clubs work so well, because it refines that small group scenario. We love that.
Oh, I love it. I learned so much. I think peer-to-peer is critical.
The Best Practices Show with Kirk Behrendt is brought to you exclusively by ACT Dental, the ultimate provider of dental practice management solutions for dentists and their teams. ACT Dental is committed to helping you build a better practice and a better life. If you're looking to grow your production, motivate your team, get back on track, and create the practice you've always dreamed about, look no further. Give us a call at 800-851-8186 or visit us at actdental.com.
I want to go back to this, and we did not discuss this, but I'm curious because you're a part of some major organizations, like the top level things. And you mentioned one teacher already, but if you were to create, let's do a small list, your two favorites, or other than, other what we've already mentioned, like who are some great examples? They've got the heart of a teacher. I learn a lot. I get more when I'm with, give us an example.
Well, sure. So I firmly and very strongly believe, and this is really my end conclusion to the concept of learning as well. I think that a good teacher teaches us more than a good topic. So a good teacher can teach me something that I think I know with great depth. I can still learn something from a good teacher. And you know, some of my favorite teachers, I mean, you listed Bill Robbins. I think you mentioned Jeff Rouse, and then Frank Spear and John Coyce. And it's kind of crazy when I look at those for Greg Kinzer out there, kind of a blend as well. Let me talk about Frank Spear. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love to read what Frank Spear writes. I really do. But I want to read it. I feel like I learn it better when I read it.
But, tell me why you like reading his writing.
I think he is so incredibly clear in creating a concept and sharing it that I want his written notes, not my written notes of his concept. I think his notes blow mine away. So if I can read it, that means I have it in paper in front of me.
Yeah. I've seen him probably 15 times, and tell me if you agree with this. I call him the great simplifier. He takes all this stuff that's so heady, and he'll go, here it is. And you're like, oh my gosh.
Of course. Yeah. You're like, of course there it is. Of course there it is. Well, there's no other solution now that you say it that way. Absolutely. And then John Coyce, I want to see John Coyce. I want to see him. I want to feel his passion. I want to know. I want the inflection of his voice to rise and fall, and him to get angry about some things and, you know, passionate about that conclusion. You know, really easy. Greg Kinzer seems to be the blend of those two in some odd way. And that's wonderful. But
I want to see Greg get angry, though. I've never seen him get angry.
No.
He's the nicest human being ever. He's really smart. Yeah,
he is.
He's got great hair. Probably puts gel in it. He's like one of the nicest human beings ever, and he's wicked smart. He's also somebody I respect. He's been given a huge opportunity, and he's been a great steward of it. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's just. Sure. So I totally agree. Who else is a great teacher from that respect, as you see it in dentistry?
Yeah. So when it comes to something like removable, I learned an awful lot of it through books and journals and publications and things. And of them, John Buhmer, I think, taught me a ton. Never met him. Maxillofacial prosthodontist, had to manage people who lost half of their maxilla or two thirds of it, and had to know where to put the implants, how to design a pivot point, where the fulcrum should be, where it shouldn't be. And those concepts make doing a traditional overdenture so much more clear. And here's somebody that I was able to learn from that was, older than me, but still a contemporary. And similarly, Earl Pound. Earl Pound passed away before I got involved in dentistry, but he left a legacy of film that was transposed into VHS when I was a student, and that I'm certain has been transposed into digital format now. And so learning from past masters is still something that I find valuable. And past masters would, Earl Pound, his ability to me, he taught me directly through his video work. But also I learned through Jack Turbyfil, who was a young associate of his and then ended up being a contemporary of mine. And so I learned so much from Jack, and he taught hands-on, and he wanted the patient in the chair and to see it live and in person and to see how he interacted with this patient. And, that was critical. So, like Dawson no longer being with us, that you mentioned earlier, but he's got a legacy that he's left behind with his text and his videos and his fingerprint on dentistry, as well as those who are the stewards of his knowledge, just like what you mentioned for Kinzer. So I think past masters are the other great teachers that we have available to us.
I love that. And I didn't really know Jack Turbyfil all that well or got to know, but I been on the road with him many times, and he was always like, Kirk, come here. And he was explaining, he used to have people come to his office.
Yeah. Right?
And he'd spend the whole weekend with them, like showing them everything. He's like, you know, I don't make that much. I just love it. I love showing them all those things. And then he's like, you know, I got so much stuff in my private office. My wife comes back there and says, when are you going to get rid of all this? Because I, and he's like, I just love collecting all this stuff and sharing it. So you could see he really had that, you know, that teacher's heart. So it's
he does. Yeah.
So I always enjoy our conversations. I'm going to have you back again and again, and we're going to have you back to ACT Dental U. I'm telling you guys, if you have not seen Nadir present, it is phenomenal. I mean, Bill refers to you as one of the best teachers anywhere in dentistry, and I've watched it. It's amazing because you take us and navigate. You know, I think of, you know, Michael Cohen and the Seattle Study Club. They use the word called Sherpa, you know, and I like that word because a Sherpa implies I'm going to take you up the mountain, and I got a lot of bumps and bruises, but let me show you how it goes. And you are definitely a category of somebody that I would call a Sherpa. You're helping dentists navigate this, but I want to, you know, kind of one last question. It's my pleasure, man. Where, any last thoughts do you have when, let's say I'm a young dentist and I'm watching this and I'm inspired, you know, what are your last thoughts about teaching and telling in dentistry and the future of dental education?
Well, let's talk about somebody who might want to teach, and how do you get started and get going on that? And I think that truthfully, the best thing that any of us can do as teachers is have an opportunity in a, you know, local study club to do an after dinner meeting. And, you know, our Chicago Dental Society, we have a variety of different sub clubs where those opportunities exist. If that doesn't exist in your area, then for your local state meeting, you can go and do a table clinic and, you know, a presentation on a topic. And the concept is if you make the topic about you, you make the topic about yourself, nobody knows you better than you. So you'll always know better than all of your audience. So if you share an experience that you had, nobody can claim it from you. And you can feel a lot of confidence from that aspect to be able to build from there. Now, obviously, for teaching a concept in dentistry, we'll need more than that. But for somebody who's getting started in teaching, talk about your personal experiences that are true, things that really happened and that are valid, because you can't be challenged on it and can't be questioned on it. You can have questions asked that you'll need to answer, of course, but you can't be questioned on your truth.
Yeah, that's great advice, buddy. I just appreciate you. So thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
You know, I knew this was going to be kind of out, you know, you're an incredible technical teacher. And so I told you I was just going to make this easy because I love just talking philosophy and how teachers think. And I love the way that you frame this up. So stick around. And so I'm just going to say this. If you guys enjoyed today, do me a favor. Just hit the share button, share with your friends. If you're looking for a fabulous speaker for your study club, you got to get this guy out to your study. He will challenge the heck out of you. And I'll also say this, it's a lot of stuff you can use on Monday and Tuesday when you go back in your practice. So check it out. So awesome. Awesome. Well, stick around. I'll say goodbye to everybody else. Thank you guys for listening to the Best Practice Show. And until we see you guys next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. There you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.